it's time for our weekly check-in on Wisconsin news. Governor Walker dominated the headlines this week with his trip to London and his administration's initial rejection of the Menominee Tribe's offer to help fund a new stadium in Milwaukee.
WPR's news director Michael Leland joins us to talk about these and other news stories around the state. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here, Rob.
Well, let's start with a story that I thought was over last month, this Kenosha Casino.
It's not over till it's really over. Tuesday there was a sort of a flurry of attention for this idea of a proposed casino in Kenosha. This is the project that we've been hearing about for quite a while from the Menominee Indian Tribe and the Hard Rock Cafe.
Okay, so what did we hear last month?
Yeah, last month Governor Walker ended months of speculation by saying that he would reject plans for this casino on the grounds that it would hurt the Pottawatomie Casino in Milwaukee and lead to a loss of jobs in Milwaukee County and also a decline in state gaming revenue. The administration said it would also hurt the Ho-Chunk casinos in the Dells and Madison. So it was up to the governor to decide if this Menominee casino would go ahead. He said no.
He said no. There's a deadline. It's next Thursday. He got out ahead of that deadline. Mm-hmm. But now an effort to get this, in effect, 11th-hour deal.
Right. So Tuesday we find out the Menominee is sweetening the pot, as it were, offering to pay $220 million toward a new arena for the Milwaukee Bucks in downtown Milwaukee. That is the same amount of state bonds that the governor is proposing to issue to help pay for that arena, and those bonds would be paid back by taxing NBA player salaries. The tribe also offered to increase its bond to cover any lost revenue to the state from any decline in other casino businesses.
Now, this is all while the governor was in London, which mm-hmm. we'll talk about in just a minute. Have we heard from his administration since then?
Right. Mike Hipsch, the head of the Department of Administration, is sort of the governor's point man on this casino project, and he said this is pretty much a dead deal. The governor does not think that the Kenosha Casino can generate the kind of money that would be needed to meet that projected amount, and he points out that the project still faces opposition from the Pottawatomie and the Ho-Chunk tribes, and having all of the state's tribes on board for this casino was one of the governor's basically requirements before he would go ahead and approve it.
And that was going to be a tall order all along,
yes,
because
absolutely.
Of those, especially those closest who saw this as more competition.
Exactly.
So, not giving up on this deal, though, yet, the Menominee.
Exactly. The Menominee say they still believe they have an opportunity to maybe change the governor's mind. This morning, a group left the reservation in Kashina. They are walking the 155 or so miles to Madison. They're planning to rally in Madison sometime next week. They're hoping to get a meeting with the governor or somebody on his staff to try to convince him or persuade him this last time to give the casino another consideration and maybe say yes. It's a long shot.
Mm-hmm. And they have to work fast because, again, that deadline of the 19th,
February 19th,
next Thursday,
right.
I think. Mm-hmm. From the feds, that deadline. So then, if it hasn't happened, we're really done talking about this.
We're
for
pretty
a while.
Much done at that point. Right?
All right. Well, mentioned that the governor was in London. We've talked some this week about the whole presidential or pre-presidential audition process, and it seems like this international trip is part of it.
Yeah, this was really a trade mission for the governor to promote business between the state of Wisconsin and the UK. He met with a number of government officials, including Britain's prime minister. He met with heads of representatives of Wisconsin businesses who have a presence over there. He also appeared as a guest speaker at Chatham House. Now, that's an international affairs think tank in London, and that's probably where he made the most news as far as we're concerned on this side of the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm. And there was, you know, sometimes the BBC interviewers, they get a little cheeky. They ask
yes.
some questions. So what ended up happening there?
Well, there was a BBC moderator who sort of led the question and answer session, and Governor Walker was asked a number of questions about foreign policy, and he pretty much declined to answer each of them as they came up. For example, he was asked whether more should be done to fight the militant group known as Islamic State. He said he didn't think it would be polite to comment on the U.S.'s interaction with another country while he was on foreign soil, although he said he would answer that sort of question back in the U.S. The governor also declined to answer any questions like who was advising him on foreign policy.
So no foreign policy answers there. And then another one Probably caught him off guard, I think, something he wouldn't have been expecting.
Yeah, the BBC moderator asked the governor if he believed in evolution, which he also declined to answer. He said that this was a question that a politician shouldn't be involved in one way or the other. And then later in the day, the governor's campaign put out a statement saying that both science and my faith dictate my belief that we're created by God. I believe that faith and science are compatible and go hand in hand. Now, he was asked about this again in a conference call with reporters on Thursday, and he pretty much said, look, I've been in office 4 years. You've never thought about this as being as important enough to ask me about it, so I'm going to let the statement stand for itself. So that, at least for now, is the last we're going to hear about evolution from the governor.
All right, it's bounced around in the headlines for a bit. Another bit of headline news did come from London, talking about this ongoing story of his proposed budget cuts to the UW system.
Right. This is a proposal to cut the UW system by about $300 million, although that's not a final figure at this point. Also freeze tuition for 2 years and then give the system some more control over its own budgeting decisions in the future, including setting tuition. Now, this has been a problem for some Republicans because they say they're worried that in 2017, when that freeze expires, the UW system, being on its own to make these decisions, will cause tuition to skyrocket, and they're not very comfortable with that.
So what did Walker say that was new since while he was in London?
He pretty much said he'd be open to some sort of indefinite cap on tuition, maybe limiting the rate of increase to based on the Consumer Price Index or some other means. And that's a recommendation that's come up in the legislature as well.
And you mentioned some Republicans were concerned about tuition. Response from Democratic leadership on this one?
Yeah, the Assembly's Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barker says that limiting tuition increase is a great idea, but it should really be accompanied by the state investing in the system. He says Walker's proposal as it stands now, freezing tuition and cutting aid to the system, amounts to destroying one of the country's great university systems.
And then Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, we touched on some of these issues with him on the show. What's the latest from him?
Right. He's now saying, he's quoted this morning as saying that if the state's revenue numbers improve this spring, he'd like to see some of that money used to reduce the size of the UW system cuts. So again, a number of things have to happen. You know, this is the governor's proposal, so the legislature still has to decide how it's going to look, when they send a budget back to the governor. But also, these state revenue numbers will be coming out later this spring. So I think that will help determine what the final numbers are as far as the cuts to the system and other cuts that may be done in the budget around the state.
So some thoughts that if there's wiggle room provided by better-looking revenue numbers, some of that wiggle could come UW's way.
Exactly, exactly.
And now on the UW side, what were we hearing? I mean, a lot of the leaders of the system as a whole, individual camps, is talking about how they would deal with the cuts as they stand in that initial proposal from the governor. What's the latest
exactly
that we're hearing?
The feeling is the system's not in a position to wait and see what the final cuts are going to look like. It has to start making decisions now. So UW-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank has been holding open meetings on campus this week. The most recent of one was just this morning. She is saying that the cuts will mean layoffs in Madison. The extent is not known yet. Announcements will probably go out as early as April. And from what I've been reading, people who are notified of layoffs will probably get about 6 months' notice. But those announcements could be coming out as early as April.
Right, because these cuts would be in effect, I guess, starting the new fiscal year, this July, not 2016. So I imagine that's happening in Madison. I've got to think similar conversations are happening at other campuses,
Absolutely.
Too.
Other campuses are also looking at their own budgets and seeing, how they might be able to absorb the cuts that are coming their way. And, efficiencies will be part of it, trying to cut costs. But when a lot of your costs are tied up in people, then, inevitably it leads to layoffs. System President Ray Cross has been saying that they are looking for efficiencies throughout the system to help absorb some of these cuts, though it's not likely going to be enough to make up the difference and avoid layoffs.
Well, we mentioned these cuts, freezes in in-state tuition. So one other possible source of money for at least UW-Madison is out-of-state students. Is that factoring into the discussion?
Right. Rebecca Blank has been saying that this is one place where she has some room to work. She's looking at raising the tuition on out-of-state students, which she says, can go up and still be, a relative bargain, compared to other schools, their out-of-state rates. And also raising the percentage of out-of-state students accepted to the UW-Madison. Right now, that cap is at 27.5%. She's been saying that she'd like to look into raising it to maybe 30%, so bringing in more out-of-state students, somewhat more, and also raising the amount they pay. Again, another way to bring more revenue onto the campus and ease the pain of these cuts. But again, it would just be a fraction of what they, you know, what they stand to lose.
Whole lot of variables bumping up against each other there. That's one you're going to be watching, I imagine, over the next couple of months.
Absolutely. It's going to be a busy spring.
Michael, thanks a lot, as always.
You're welcome.
That was WPR's news director Michael Leland covering the biggest news stories from around the state this week.